Proverbs 18:13. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Proverbs 10, verses 31 and 32. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. And finally, Proverbs 20, verse 5. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Bobby. I love baptism Sundays. Don't you love a baptism Sunday? It is. So here's the link between baptism and mission. We spend time, energy, and money to go to the other side of the world. Why? Because someone is waiting to hear the gospel. Some North African who's migrated to Marseille, who's stuck in a very broken world, is waiting to hear Jesus saves. He's waiting for his baptism Sunday. And it makes it worth it to us to go. Not professional missionaries, just disciples of Jesus, taking time and energy and resources and saying, you know, when I met Christ, it changed everything. And so I want to go and tell someone else. It might be across the street to your neighbor. It might be around the world to Marseille or Puerto Rico or some other place where people have not yet experienced the mercy of Christ. The world doesn't have this. They don't have the wisdom of God. And we're not mad at them because of that. We remember what it was like to be separated from God. Blind, unrighteous, as Jonah said, there's none who's righteous. No, not one. So we go to them with empathy, with compassion, and we relive the awakening of the gospel in our own lives when we go on mission. It matters, and beautifully so. So when someone does discover the gospel, the word, the wisdom of God, then it changes them. And here's what happens. Wisdom creates among a group of people a new community. That's what the church is. Wisdom created new community in ancient Israel, believing Israel. Not all of Israel believed. It also creates a new community called the church, the new covenant community. So when a bunch of people respond in repentance and faith to Christ, and they gather together and they submit themselves to God's word, then wisdom creates a very different kind of community than the world offers. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, wisdom creates everything. Chapter 8, wisdom creates the whole world and all that's in it. Chapter 1, wisdom creates worshipers. The fear of the Lord, the reverence and worship of God is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom creates harmony between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters and family relationships. Too many references to sight in the book of Proverbs. It's just over and over again, wisdom creates stuff. In the book of Proverbs, guess what the theme is that I had just not seen before. I mean, this is so thick. It runs through the whole book. Wisdom creates true, authentic community between people. It makes a people God's people. So it's also what you're looking for, by the way. You're looking for authentic, trustworthy, genuine community. That's what you're looking for in a friendship when you go away to college. It's what you're looking for in a spouse when you marry. It's what you're looking for in a church. Like trusted, healthy, authentic, vulnerable, open community. You can't live without it. There are two orthodoxies. Francis Schaeffer reminded us this back in the mid-70s. There are two orthodoxies. There's the orthodoxy of doctrine, and you got to get that right, right? Cut it straight. It comes from the Word of God, good theology, good teaching, an orthodoxy of doctrine. But you also need an orthodoxy of community, of relationship. Schaeffer said, true Christianity produces beauty as well as truth, especially in human relationships. Read the New Testament carefully and notice how often Jesus returns to this, end quote. That's exactly right. For the longest time, churches have emphasized the orthodoxy of doctrine, and it's a good emphasis, but it is not the only emphasis. And we need to put the gospel on display in relationships. So, I want to show you from Proverbs how the wisdom of God creates true community in three ways. We learn to listen, we learn to speak, and then we learn to counsel one another. Those three things. Number one, let's start with listen. We listen to one another. And we listen carefully, attentively, gracefully, with a graceful orientation. We listen with our eyes, our ears, and our hearts. We especially listen with our hearts. The world does not teach you to listen this way. There are some in the world who value listening and listening well, but not in this way. So let the Word of God speak to you this morning as we see how God creates a new community. 18:13, the first verse here that we're going to walk through, Proverbs 18. And I'm just going to, if this is your first Sunday with us, we're in a study on Proverbs. I'm just going to walk you through a couple of key Proverbs, and let's see if we can get some truth out of it for us to live the Christian life. Verse 13 of chapter 18. So look at this with me. Here's what it says. If one gives an answer before he hears, if you answer too quickly, if you're quick to listen, if you give an answer before you listen, before you hear, you'll be embarrassed, you'll be shamed, you'll be seen as a fool. You'll feel it because you missed something. If you are quick to speak before you really hear the question, you will almost certainly be wrong, right? A person who speaks impulsively is characterized here as a fool. They speak whatever comes to mind, whenever it comes to mind. You get this sense of overconfidence or self-importance. Maybe this has happened to you. Like, this probably happened to most of us, where we were at work and we spoke before we should have. Or we were at a PTA meeting and we stood up and said something. Or we were at a church business meeting. And after we spoke, you get this sense of conviction. I probably shouldn't have said that. Has that ever happened to you? I'm probably the only person here that... Yeah, it's never happened to you? Okay, great. It's a thing, right? This proverb is so true of all of us. It is better to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and cultivate a disposition of wisdom and grace. It's one of the most important spiritual disciplines in the Christian community. Dietrich Bonhoeffer reminds us of this in Life Together. He says this, the first thing that we owe to one another in the Christian fellowship, he's talking about owing something, we owe something to one another. I don't owe anybody. No, you. He said the first thing you owe to this new community, the Christian community, is listening to one another. Just as love for God begins with listening to His Word, so love for the brethren is learning to listen to them. God gives us His Word and He lends us His ear. So it's His work that we do for our brother or sister when we learn to listen to them. Christians so often think they need to contribute something to the conversation when they're in the company of others. They forget that listening can be a greater service than speaking. And then he turns it outward, missionally, to the community, to the unchurched, the unbeliever. And he says, listen to this. Many people are looking for someone who will listen. They do not find it among Christians, because these Christians are talking when they should be listening. The world doesn't trust listening. I mean, the world doesn't trust Christianity in part, because we don't know how to listen and really empathize. No, don't listen to fix. Don't listen to jump forward. Don't listen to say, "Oh, what you need is this," right? That's not real listening. And the world knows the difference. And you know the difference when somebody's doing that to you. Listening carefully, attentively, gracefully creates a gospel culture, and it's attractive. It draws people in. I mean, this is one of the most unsuspected ways that the church would grow, that you would actually, in your community group or Bible study class or one-on-one discipleship or triad pairing, whatever it is, like that you would create a culture that was willing to listen to someone's need, brokenness, maybe hard questions about the faith. Number two. So that's the first thing. Wisdom creates true community through the act of listening. Secondly, wisdom creates true community when we actually speak a different kind of way toward each other. We speak wisdom and grace. Look at 10:31. So flip over to Proverbs chapter 10, flip back to 10, and it's on page 534 in the Pew Bible if you want to join me there. Verses 31 and 32. Really nice 1-2 punch, verse 31 and 32. Let's start in 31. We speak wisdom and grace to one another. Verse 31 says, the mouth of the godly, the mouth of the righteous. Don't be thrown by that word righteous. It simply means those who are pursuing God, those who are godly. Doesn't mean you're perfect, doesn't mean, you know, you've arrived or anything like that. The mouth of the godly person, the mouth of the person who is following the Lord, right? So the mouth of the righteous, the mouth of the wise, the mouth of the godly brings forth wisdom. Really interesting verb there. It only occurs three times in the Hebrew Bible, once in the book of Proverbs, and it's right here. It means to sort of blossom or bud or a shoot. It's an agricultural image. Something bringing forth life. Probably blossom would be the best, a bud that blossoms would be the best way to convey that. The idea of growth or blossom, something's just about to open into full flower. So wisdom is not static. Wisdom is dynamic. Wisdom is flourishing. Wisdom is growing and flowering. We have across our front porch area, three big, beautiful rose bushes. Most of the year, they're thorny, kind of stay away from them, boring bushes. But in April and May, I mean like clockwork, they explode into new life. And that happened just now, like a few weeks back. One day, I just finally looked up, and there were explosions of coral and pink rosebuds that had just opened up everywhere. I'm talking about hundreds of flowers on one bush. That's what it looks like to speak wisdom in a community. One blossom of truth and beauty, like it's proportional, it's beautiful, it's colorful, it invites life. The mouth of the righteous is not forced. They're not oversharing, they're not over-instructing, they're not over-talking. Like just aesthetically right, they speak wisdom. In the right moment, at the right time, in your small group, in your Bible study class, in your house, with your family, wherever you are in relationship, speaking wisdom is life-giving. To bring the beauty and color and texture and goodness of God's word to life in community without it feeling like it's another speech or a lecture or a correction or whatever. Now, sometimes, of course, a correction is needed, but that's not the beauty of this. This particular proverb says, the mouth of the wise, the mouth of the righteous, buds, like one bud, one blossom after another. Don't you want that to characterize the way you talk? It's beautiful. The perverse tongue, look at the next part of the verse, second half. The perverse tongue, on the other hand, very different. Don't hear sexually perverse. In the scriptures, perverse just simply means twisted. So it's, I mean, it could be sarcasm, exaggeration. Well, I'm just telling the truth, right? Well, not really. You're doing more than that. You've twisted it for your own purposes. And it comes off as sarcastic, exaggerated, bad timing, self-righteous. We've all seen it. In fact, we've all done it. Every single one of us have taken truth and twisted it toward our own purposes. The perverse tongue, the twisted tongue, doesn't bring forth wisdom. It's a stark contrast in 31. Now look at how 31 and 32 work together. Drop down to 32, because here's the grace. And it's not just a social grace. It's not just etiquette. This is not just manners. Manners are important. Etiquette is important. Social graces are important. But there's something else happening in 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Look at that. That's an important word. The lips of the wise, they know what is acceptable. That is, they don't just know it with their head, they know it with their heart, and they speak it in a tone and in a disposition of grace, and it just works. Like, it really is, there is a profound sense of situational awareness and a redeemed sense of social grace and moral awareness. Like, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You remember this, like John's gospel, do you remember that? Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth is fulfilled, right? Jesus. Verses 31 and 32 are just like that. Grace and truth. We speak this way to each other, and it creates a different kind of people. It creates a place where people want to be present, alive, encouraging one another. Ephesians 4:15, we speak the truth in love. We don't just tell people what to do, right? I mean, nobody's ever just wanted to be told what to do in that sense. Of course the law is important and people need to be told what to do, but the primary purpose of the law is to bring you to the end of yourself. Not so that you can become the tell everybody what to do police. Speak with wisdom and grace. Like, make it attractive. Make it compelling. When your conversations are more like a rose garden than a cold, rainy, bitter winter day, now you're creating gospel community. Does this make sense? Number three, counsel one another. Oh, okay, he must be talking to somebody else. I'm not a licensed professional counselor. I'm going to go ahead and check the scores. I don't even know if there's a game this weekend. I'm going to check the weather on my phone. No, don't check out right now. Don't check out. Proverbs 20 and verse 5 is for you. Proverbs 20 and verse 5 is for every disciple of Jesus. Please don't say to me that you can't do this and then turn around and give advice to your friends on Facebook. Okay? You can't live with that inconsistency. We counsel one. Look at 20 and verse 5. The intentions of a person's heart, the purpose of a man's heart, man or woman, this is a generic he. So the intentions or purpose of a man or woman's heart is like deep water. Do you see that? I don't think deep blue ocean or the deepest part of Smith Mountain Lake. Because the next line says, what? Look, what should we be thinking about? We should be thinking about the deep water of a well that goes way down deep, because a person of wisdom draws it up or draws it out. here's what's going on. In the heart of every person, or maybe better just to say it this way, the heart of every person is a deep well. The heart of every single person in this world is a deep, mysterious well, and that's partly good and it's partly bad. It's partly good because the deep, mysterious, transcendent God of the universe made us in his image. And so, yeah, you could say she's a person of mystery, or he's a person of mystery, right? There's an image-bearing sense of the depth of the human heart. That's partly good. It's also partly bad, because the mystery and the inaccessibility is our resistance to open up to other people. We don't want to share our hearts. In a broken world, we don't want to share the heart that's mysterious and transcendent that God gave us. We have a fallen, sinful resistance to one another. We don't trust one another. And it's deep. We don't like being exposed and vulnerable. This is why some people won't let you in. It's why some people won't let us into their lives as disciples, as pastors, in any case. This is why. Because we have a, and we like to say, well, we're just private people. Well, that's not entirely true. So, Proverbs 20 and verse 5 says, it takes a discerning, patient, wise person to draw out the intentions of another person's heart. So somebody, so the next time somebody invites you to the well and they start talking about their life and they say, maybe in student world it comes out like this, I hate my parents. That's a real thing. Students often go through a season, like sometimes it's more than a season. Well, if somebody opens up to you like that, step in toward the edge of the well. Don't be afraid to hear more about that. And then slowly lower the bucket by listening and asking a follow-up question. Simple question. Like, tell me more about that. Or somebody explodes in anger in front of you and they let you in to that, what's going on in their life, and they say, man, this fires me up. This makes me so angry. When is this ever going to... Step into that. Step right up to the edge of the well and just stand there. Don't leave. Don't walk away because you're busy. Don't walk away because you're not a licensed professional counselor. And lower that bucket down as far as you possibly can, and don't just snatch it back up. Don't roll the rope. Don't snatch it back up too quickly. Oh, I know what this person's problem is. I know what they need. They need to go to church more. They need to do this. Don't do that. Like, go deep. Take some time. Listen. Love them well. I know that some of you are thinking to yourself, there is absolutely no way I'm going to let somebody else. I got enough problems. I got enough of my own stinking problems. Are you kidding me? I'm not going further in with somebody else. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss the practice of wisdom. You're going to miss a chance to create a different kind of people. You're going to miss, you say to yourself on one hand, I want to be part of a godly, authentic, true church that makes a difference in this world. But you don't have time to listen to somebody? You don't have time to lower the bucket? This is so important. I called Michael Gambola, the director of the Blue Ridge Christian Counseling Center, and we're a ministry partner, and they have some office space here. And I just said, Michael, do you like this verse? It was kind of come on, he's got to like this verse. So I texted him and tell me about Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Oh, he said, man, love that verse, because it takes the ministry of counseling back from the licensed professional counselor. I mean, he's a licensed professional counselor. He's trying to multiply, you know, other, but his goal is not to multiply counselors that are paid. His goal is to, their goal, that vision for BRCC, is to multiply disciples who bring the word of God and counsel into one another's lives. If you want to know more about what that looks like, Paul Tripp's book called Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands, it's the heart of the argument. People in need of change, standing above the well, reaching deep down into the hearts of others, and drawing it out and bringing gospel change to one another's lives. This is how you create community. Now, I'm pretty sure that in just a few minutes, I have not convinced you that this is a thing for you to counsel one another. So let me double down on it for just a second. Do you remember the first disciples? A greedy tax collector? An impulsive fisherman? A couple of hot-headed sons of thunder? Jesus entrusts the future of the church to this group? Have no idea what they're doing. And yet, they were marked by something that changed everything. Do you remember back in John chapter 13? This is it. Love for one another. We love one another. In John 13, Jesus said, this is how the world's going to know you belong to me, that you would love one another and that you would do things for one another that you thought you could never do for one another. That's what drives, that's what enables, that's what resources, not just listening or speaking, but actually bringing biblical counsel, bringing gospel hope into one another's lives. Think back to when you got married and you had your first child and you thought to yourself, we have no idea what we're doing. Do you remember that? We have absolutely no idea what we're doing. What are we supposed to do with this thing? How did you get through it? What was driving you? Your love. Your love for that new way of life with a child that you're now responsible for. You have no idea how to parent. What drives you into discovering how to do what you're going to do for the rest of your life? The love that God has given you as a family and the love that you have for a child. Like, this is exactly what should drive us as a people of God. We are the children of God. We are His children. Jesus would even go around saying to the disciples, you're like my children, my little children. Love drives this whole thing. So here's what I'm trying to get you to do. I want you to hit pause on the, I can't do this. This is for the deacons. This is for the pastors. This is for the trained, licensed professional counselors. Hit pause on that long enough to say, Lord, I will trust you. Deepen my love. And the next time somebody starts to let you in, maybe it's a Bible study class, community group, maybe it's an unbeliever at work or a friend on the team, and they start to let you in, and you're like, man, I'm too busy to go there. No, stop, pray, ask God to let you come closer to the well.